Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We have a special episode for you today outside of the normal pods per week. Today, we're joined by Marcus Whitman, who is that franchise guy on YouTube. You may know him as. And he's going to tell us a little bit about the Ravens' heavy personnel formations and how they performed this year. Marcus, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's, I feel like Ravens fans think I'm always down on Lamar. So I'm hoping I can, show out well here, show that I love Lamar. I love what the Ravens are doing. And thank you for having me.
Okay. Really appreciate it, Marcus. And of course, the Ravens have been one of the heaviest teams in football. I don't know if you have any information on that, but 2 years ago in 2022, they were literally the heaviest team in recent decades. 2.30 roughly, how I define it is tight ends, fullbacks, and sixth offensive linemen per play. So, you know, there's always exactly one running back on in an NFL play. Occasionally you have some pony backfield teams.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, multiple wide receivers and 11 personnel is fairly common around the NFL. So you figure that number will not ever approach a number like 2.30. The previous high had been 1.99 in 2019 in recent years. And I think might have been Sharp, might have been somebody else was producing data back that had shown that was the heaviest team. Have you seen anything else that would corroborate that for this year, for example? Because I haven't looked at it this year yet.
In terms of who else or how the Ravens compare all time or
how the Ravens compare to other teams in terms of
other teams in the league,
heaviness of personnel. And I know your numbers you're going to see show the Ravens with by far the most of these three personnel groups are going to look at.
Yeah. I would say the Miami Dolphins would be the closest. Mm-hmm. They really, especially when Tua's out there, their offense is very much surrounding just those two wide receivers with Hill and Waddle. Mm-hmm. And they love to have, they use Alec Ingold a lot. So you get a lot of that 12 personnel, which is going to be two backs, including a running back in there with Ingold, their fullback. But they love to just have like their tight ends as a part of their pass, you know, protection just to help what's a pretty bad offensive line in Miami, but they've really designed it in a way that they're like, hey, we got two great wide receivers. Let's use some extra bodies to get a little, you know, chip help here, cross formation block there. But it's very, very different than what the Ravens do because the Ravens really do it for the run game and for play action. So they're the other team that's the closest in terms of heavy package in the league. The Niners and Saints would be next behind them with more of that Shanahan base. They just had Clint Kubiak just went over from San Francisco to New Orleans. So very similar system there. But they're more like focused on 12 personnel, two tight ends out there. That kind of what you would say is more of a classic Shanahan style setup with the play action and the wide zone and all that.
Okay, I'm going to bring the graph on and kind of we've been burying the lead up to this moment. But tell us exactly what this is. All 12, 21, and 22 plays graphed relative to total, and that's important, total EPA, correct?
Correct, yep. So I think it's important to set the base for what EPA is. It's expected points added, and this is calculated, forgive me, I'm not behind the scenes calculating this, but I know that it's very much in line with what you see with like those win probability charts that show up during broadcasts, or like live betting, for example, would use similar math to this, in terms of, you know, who's likely to win the game, who's likely to score and drive, all that stuff. But expected points added is a simple calculation. It just takes a before and after, addition by subtraction of heading into one play. This is the certain amount of points that are expected to happen on this drive. So maybe they start on a touchback. I would imagine the expected points added on a drive is probably something like 3 points. And then what it'll do is take what happened, like what your expected points are on the next play. So if you go out and have a 20-yard completion to Mark Andrews, you might now be expected to score 4.5 points on that drive. So your expected points added on that one play, that the big completion to Andrews, is going to be 4.5 minus 3. So what this chart is showing is the total plays of every team in the league having run what I consider heavy personnel. I know we were talking a little bit before stream about including maybe an extra offensive lineman as a part of the package. So I didn't include that here.
But this didn't include 13 either, which is maybe a little bit notable.
Sure. Yeah. 13. I probably could have also lumped that in there. There's just not a ton of 13. The Ravens do run it though. Or 20. Well, 13 personnel being, two backs and a
23
fullback
would be like a goal line.
Yeah. 23 would be a goal line
too. Yeah.
So 13 would be, pretty rare. And it would oftentimes, I feel like what we might consider 13 is when you take like who is a tight end and put him in kind of like a fullback, H-back type of position. So I guess that's kind of why I didn't include that. This is the total plays on the X-axis of teams that have run these heavy packages. And then
let me stop you for one more second here, because if you put a tight end in the backfield, would what's being captured, I assume off NFL Fastar here, termed as a tight end, or does it use his position on the roster to determine if he's a tight end or a fullback?
I believe these are from PFF's charting, which I have actually done myself back in the day. I believe that if you take who is a tight end by position and put him in the backfield, he would register as a fullback or an H-back. But it also depends on his alignment. It gets kind of shady there. It's like if he's halfway on the inside shade of the tackle, it's a fullback. If he's halfway on the outside butt cheek of the tackle, he's a tight end. So it does definitely get murky there for sure. But I think you're talking about a pretty small sample size in those cases.
Sure.
To be honest. Then on the y-axis, you have your total EPA, as I described, which it's not going to give you the per play rates, which are usually the better way to look at this. But if you look at that line, the midline that kind of slices south to north on the way through there, that gives you a good radar for the team's efficiencies there. Like, for example, I was talking about the Dolphins, how they run a ton of heavy personnel. You can see how the Dolphins are in the way bottom of the chart here, negative 60 total EPA, whereas the Ravens are complete opposite of that, 60 EPA, and they've run a fairly similar amount of heavy packages. That definitely shows you the difference in efficiency there, which you can only imagine the difference in the per play EPA there. So that's how you would read this out.
Okay. So, and it doesn't, you mentioned it really didn't give us per play. So a team like Washington, who's in the middle with 170 or so total of these, just reading the chart, might have slightly more EPA per play on these heavy formations, but the Ravens do it much more and they have a higher total. That's correct. Just eyeballing it here from a distance, and the Dolphins run it a lot and they suck at it would be the simple way to
yes. without Tua for the majority of the season, I imagine that number will creep back up with their passing game now that they've got him back.
Okay. Now, one of the things that comes up with heavy personnel is how situationally these packages emerge, and the Ravens do run it all game long, and they certainly do, but they run it more heavily and they use Ricard more, for example. when they're closing out a ball game. So this last week, when they were trailing a lot of the game against the Browns, they only used Ricard, I think, 11 or 12 snaps, whereas he might play 50% of the snaps in a normal game. That's one of the differences between EPA and WPA that's quite stark, is that in the second half of a football game, WPA and EPA can diverge, because you're oftentimes the leading team is making choices that reduce their expected points in order to increase their expected wins.
Yeah. So that you're kind of asking like where game situation might impact, like what we should take away from this is kind of what you're.
Yeah. I guess I know you had some additional data. I was kind of leading you into bringing up a first quarter, fourth quarter kind of thing.
Definitely. So I did take a look at that, and I do think it's definitely a fair point that, I mean, as with any sort of data point, you want to take it with a grain of salt. And I think especially as you look at some of the lower teams on this chart, I can't say most teams, but a lot of teams are only getting into big personnel at the goal line or end of game situations. And like when you're at, when you're at the goal line, or if it's a third and one, if you're coming back to the root of what EPA is, those are high percentage looks anyway. So I don't know if you get 2 yards on a third and one, if that really changes the EPA too much. So if there are teams that really don't run a lot of this and they're only running it in short yard situations, you can kind of throw those teams out, I think. The other point on that is I don't know how they calculate EPA in terms of the fourth quarter stuff, like, and maybe you do, but if it's a 4 minute offense type of situation, right, and the gamblers know, like, okay, if this team gets 2 first downs, like they're not going to score any points on this drive. So are your expected points 0 there? Do you happen to know the answer to that question?
No, I think that the problem comes in kneels are typically excluded from this kind of data. Kneels and spikes, but plays that are like run up the middle for 1 yard in an attempt to run 3 plays and then punt when a team may lead by, say, 25 in the fourth quarter, those would be counted. And that's where I think you have some low value EPA plays that still can be pretty high value WPA plays.
Yeah.
That the situation gets murkier.
Yep. So, yeah, I definitely think that would, muddy up the data for sure. But I do think when you're talking about the teams that run a lot of this stuff, it's really relevant to compare like the Ravens to the Dolphins and the Ravens to the Texans and the Chargers with running Greg Roman's offense right now. And in terms of the first half, second half stuff, it actually still very much holds up, or first quarter versus fourth quarter. I have those here. Sorry, I got to zoom the graph in here, but this is going to be your first quarter. So you can still see like, okay, this has nothing to do with what the team knows you're going to do or really what the score is. The Ravens are still miles ahead of everybody. The Commanders.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code Ravens. So head to mood.com/Ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Ravens when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have been the only team remotely close in terms of efficiency out of 12 personnel. Their run game has just been so good with Jaden. But that's your first quarter. And then fourth quarter, it's very similar to the graph we saw earlier. Sorry, I'll zoom it in for you.
Yeah, sure thing.
And that to me really speaks to me because that tells me teams know that the Ravens want to run the ball. They are trying to stop all these other teams. Their EPAs are much lower, much more clumped together. You're predictable. You just kind of stall out in those situations where the Ravens, it's like, nope, you can load up the box. You can know what's coming, but they still have a great run game because of Derrick Henry. They have Lamar, a factor of that run game. And then once you get into the fact that, okay, you got Mark Andrews, you got Kolar breaking out this year, you got Likely, like they're doing a really good job too to mix things up with play action and just enough to keep teams honest, even if they're going to load up the box and declare what they want to do. The Ravens are far and ahead of everybody else late in game situations. So I think that's probably the coolest data point out of all this.
I maybe take something a little bit different from that. If you would plug that back in here for just a second.
You want the fourth quarter?
Yeah, the fourth quarter, if you would, yeah.
Yep.
Because they're a lot closer to the regression line in this case. Their information looks fairly similar probably to that first chart in terms of their relativity of points per play. But there's other teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers come to mind as a guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, team is, looks like they've run about 35 times and they've been efficient at it. The Ravens look like they've run it three times as often, but nowhere near three times the EPA per play.
Sure.
It looks to me like it is kind of a situation where a lot of teams know it's coming and they're probably better at stopping the Ravens there, obviously, than they are in the first quarter. Yeah. Okay.
But I do think the volume of it matters too.
Sure.
Just in the sense that like they have this identity that they've been able to lean to in many of these games. I mean, I know the Browns game is recent on everybody's memory. They weren't able to finish that in the end. But the Bucs game comes to mind where like the Bucs kept throwing their punches, but Derrick Henry just kept pulling away. They just kept coming up with these answers in the second half. And I think the fact that they're able to stay in what are typically more safe play scripts with the big packages, the run game, that they're able to stay in this two times more than anybody else in the league and still be not the most efficient at it, but they're just kind of eyeballing it. They're probably top 6, 7, 8. It's still really impressive in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. Even here, I certainly would agree with that. I guess the other thing I would go, if we go back to the first graph again and see the amazing guys. So they've got 120 with roughly maybe a 17 total EPA in this group. If I subtract that from their overall, they've got maybe 45 of total EPA. And I'm going to say on the remaining 230, does that sound reasonable? About roughly. So definitely better when they more effective on a per play basis when they run this at other times during the game. So
sure.
It would be one other thing that I would point to. I guess when you have your full slate of pass and play action options open to you earlier in the game, would be one of the reasons for that. You're not trying to get cute and do a lot of play action typically or oftentimes in the fourth quarter. Sometimes mm-hmm. you can probably pull it out of the bag, but it's a much more of a big staple where you're either going with maybe a read option or maybe even a triple option to try and make a play early on.
Yeah, and I would imagine if we pulled like explosive plays too, you would see much more early in the game than later in the game. And those explosive plays are where huge chunks of EPA come from. Yeah. So that definitely tracks.
All right. Well, very interesting information here. Is there anything else that you would point to here about the Ravens' use of these heavy packages that is anomalous or is a little bit different from what the rest of the league is doing?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, most of these teams that run a lot of it are in that Shanahan branch with the Saints, the Niners, the Texans, even the Dolphins do it a little bit differently. I mentioned how they do it more for pass protection. But I would say it's the different number of looks that they can throw at you when you have basically four heavy package types of guys that are all a little bit different, plus mm-hmm. Lamar. I mean, they have access to packages and plays that no one else has. Like it's a pretty simple argument there. And just, again, the different body types is really fun. Like you can show Isaiah Likely and he might be your best slot receiver at any given time. Just to have that flexibility, Kolar's explosiveness up the seam, Andrew's doing what he does, Ricard probably being the best blocking fullback in the league. Like you just see so many different wrinkles, especially in the run game with, you know, pulling the center and running read option versus, you know, just running QB power with Lamar. I don't know if they've necessarily done that a lot this year. I know that was a little more prominent last year. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just keep defenses guessing in terms of what you're going to run out of this stuff. It's night and day compared to, I mean, I would say any other team in the league. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now I'm going to one more point because this deals with the Ravens' recent acquisition of Diontae Johnson. It looks like I would guess 65 offensive plays per game is about what the Ravens have run so far. We're seeing almost 350 of these have occurred in 12, 21, or 22 personnel. I'll get to my point in just a second, I promise you. 12, 21, or 22 personnel don't allow for three wide receivers to be on the field. None of those do. You have to have 11 or 10 or something else have three plus wide receivers on the field. You always have, you know, you always have a running back. Anyway, we need to go into all this. I'm trying to see how there's a lot of playing time here for a player like Diontae Johnson when there's just not very much in the way of total snaps where they're out of 12, 21, or 22. I don't really see him taking snaps away from either Flowers or Bateman, who's having a great yards per target year. I wouldn't expect that anyway. I am kind of hoping he'll take up some of the gadget role. And then also the Ravens have Keaton Mitchell coming back. Do you have any kind of thoughts about how much you would expect the Ravens to use Diontae Johnson?
No, I think you're spot on there. His workload's going to be pretty small for sure. But the hope is, you know, he's just that last wrinkle to help out your drop back game because they don't need help on early downs, frankly, as we've kind of talked about for the most part today. I mean, you can pinpoint deficiencies here or there for anybody, but they're really one of the best early down teams in the league, if not the best. I mean, them or Detroit, probably, in my opinion. But yeah, when you get to third down and, you know, maybe the right side of the offensive line's been a little bit spotty the last couple of weeks. You know, Bateman hasn't been reliable. He just hasn't. I like Bateman. I'm a Gophers fan. Like, I'm always pulling for him, but, you know, I don't even think they're really worried about what he's going to do for them on early downs outside of maybe some of the gadget stuff for sure. But if you're going to get blitzed, and Lamar's talked about his growth against the blitz, to have a guy like Diontae Johnson that can just shake guys off the line, I genuinely believe he's in the top 10 for route runners in the league. Like, he is an exceptional separator one-on-one. And he's also a guy that just makes really tough catches out of nowhere. You wouldn't think, it's very similar to Zay Flowers, I think, where you wouldn't think of him as a guy that you can trust in a big spot to actually kind of get over a defender and make a tough catch or keep his feet in on the sideline. He's actually very good at that, though. The one thing this doesn't fix for them is the drop issues. He does have drop issues, but he to me is, you know, you get a lot of these high leverage targets to Rashad Bateman on third downs and stuff. If those are going Deontay Johnson's way, I think not only you're getting a guy that I do think is capable of making some of those more high leverage catches more consistently, but he's just got more juice after the catch and certainly before the catch to get open as well. So I just really like the addition in terms of making sure the third down stuff, the drop back game can be as good as possible. It's never realistic really to acquire offensive linemen midseason. If you could, that's probably what I would have done for the Ravens instead of a receiver. But, you know, I think someone was tracking who's been like what position has been traded. I think it was Stephen Haglund of the Guilty as Charged sent this over to me. He tracked like how many acquisitions at each position have been made at the trade deadline for the last like 3 years. And it's like 38 wide receivers and like two offensive linemen. Like it just doesn't really happen. So I guess this was a great answer for the Ravens.
All right. I think maybe a needle mover, maybe not. And honestly, some of the things about Bateman, I think, are really born of pre-2024 Bateman things. I think, honestly, right now, I'd say Bateman has one of the best contracts for a wide receiver in the entire NFL. And if you're talking about trading a wide receiver, and I mean, Devontae Adams, for example, was traded earlier this year.
Yeah.
And you know, Devontae Adams, most people would have said a three. The Jets ended up giving a conditional two for him, which is not going to end up happening because they're going to get a three. Bateman is one of the few wide receivers in the entire NFL that I think might command a number one in return because of all 3 years of value remaining on the contract, that you have a very significant amount of additional value to be had. But you do have to buy into 2024 Bateman, and you know, right up there near the top of the entire league in terms of yards per target to be in on that.
Yeah. Right.
Marcus, really appreciate you coming on. Outstanding stuff. Always nice to have a pithy thing. This will be out there on Sunday. I hope people get a look at it before the game, and always appreciate people looking at it. Marcus, tell folks where they can find your work online and how they can contact you, maybe talk about football.
Sure. Yeah, so it's That Franchise Guy is the YouTube channel, just covering the NFL year-round. I actually, just before we sat down for this, just posted my AFC North Studs and Duds, where I'm talking about all the rising and falling players around the entire league. So obviously the Ravens are included in that. Here, who I think is struggling for the team, who I think is balling out. And then, yeah, I'm on Twitter at @TFG_football. So, yeah, thanks for having me, Ken. This was fun.
All right. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always on Twitter. DMs are always open on Twitter. If you would like to do us a favor, show the show to another person, like and subscribe on YouTube if you're watching this, and this will be up there as a video, of course. Otherwise, we really appreciate your loyalty. Marcus, thanks again for coming on. And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.